Welcome, everybody. We are glad to have you with us today. We have a very full house. This is actually one of our most attended clinics. First of all, we want to say thank you for jumping on board. We are just going to give it about another 30 seconds or so to let some of the folks catch up here. We're just past 4 o'clock, and of course, we have a very full presentation. Our topic today, as you know, is Twitter experiments, getting beyond the now what, a title that sprang from one of the most common first tweets that we've seen in a lot of the Twitter accounts that we've looked at. I think mine is probably one of those as well, to be quite honest. We have a couple of very special guests presenting with us today. Jason Breed, the Senior Director of Business Development for Neighborhood America. Are you there, Jason?
Yes, sir.
Great. And Mark Meyer, CEO of Digital Response Marketing Group. Mark, are you there as well?
I am.
Great. My name is Hunter Boyle. I'm Content Director for Marketing Experiments. If you've been with some of our clinics in the past, you know that we make a very big effort to try and get a lot of interactivity in our web clinics. So we invite you to use the Q&A feature in GoToWebinar. Of course, for this very special topic, we'll also be doing a couple of other things. So please feel free to use Twitter. Our handle, if you aren't familiar or aren't following us yet, is at MKTG Experiments. Our brand is a little bit too long for the Twitter character count there, unfortunately. And the hashtag that we use for these is WebClinic, all jammed together. Hopefully a lot of you on the clinic already know about hashtags and how to use them. We will be trying to keep the conversation going over there, and Jason and Mark will also talk about kind of another special session we have going on with TweetChat a little later on. Here's a quick look at the agenda. We are going to look at some research snapshots very briefly, including those from our sister company, Marketing Sherpa, many of you are familiar with, as well as Harvard Business Review and others. We will skim those very quickly at this point. And then I will turn it over to Jason and Mark. They will dig into a lot of the ways that businesses are and businesses should and maybe shouldn't be using Twitter. We'll look at a few examples from some of the folks who are actually live on our call here today. Hopefully they're still with us. And then we will talk about some of the next steps and putting some of this information into practice and really getting the value out of Twitter for your own business. So, with that in mind, let's move ahead. Look at the next slide. Okay, this first slide here is a chart that has garnered a lot of attention. It's been passed around in Twitter and in other places. It was a chart from Marketing Sherpa's 2009 Social Media Marketing and Benchmark Guide. And basically what caught the attention for a lot of people was that, in essence, about two-thirds of the marketers surveyed here considered themselves experts in social media, and yet about two-thirds found that they were either only somewhat knowledgeable, or 9% of that two-thirds was very knowledgeable. And one of the things that this really called out, and it got a lot of attention, again, I think most people have probably seen this at some point, it got a lot of buzz. You know, as when it comes to social media, a lot of times we feel as if, you know, we may know what we're doing here from a personal perspective, but when it comes to a business case, we are really in the dark in a lot of ways. You know, you'll notice that we used experiments for the title of our clinic. We don't really consider ourselves experts because we are always finding new things to do and evolving in our own strategies. Now, with this survey, obviously social media is a little broader than just Twitter. It involves a lot of other areas, of course, blogs, 2.0 PR, things like that. But during the time that this survey was conducted, Facebook and Twitter were obviously the two giants, the two big stories of the day. So what this really calls out, no matter what level of knowledge you're at, it really underscores that if you're not, for example, Seth Godin or Chris Brogan or John Battelle, you've got a lot of work to do. And with each new thing that comes up in social media, 10 years ago it was Yahoo Groups, 7 years ago it was Friendster, 4 years ago it was MySpace, Today it's Facebook and Twitter, obviously. You know, whatever you use as your social media platform and whatever you're going to get knowledgeable about, there's always a learning curve. There's always a place that you have to start, and many times there's a place that you have to restart. So social media expert tag that's been thrown around a lot as far as knowledgeability, well, that's something that, you know, we need to take a closer look at. And with that in mind, what I want to look at here for our audience is a quick poll to find out what is your Twitter experience level. We'd like to find out where you feel you are with your own Twitter usage and kind of tailor our presentation here today to the audience. Make sure that we're talking to the keys that you want to know about. So just take a minute or two to vote very quickly, and we will put up the results in just a minute. We're getting a lot of results in. Interesting. 75%, 76. Okay, we'll show you what your audience appears is looking like here. So 82% voted out of an attendee list of about 950 right now. So we'll do the math on that when we republish this later. 43% say I tweet now and then. 17% are tweeting about 24/7. 26% are at the signed up now what stage, and about 15% of you actually haven't used Twitter yet at all. So that's kind of interesting. That almost falls closely into about the 80-20 rule, if you think about it that way. Jason, Mark, does that surprise you at all? What do you think of where we're at with the audience today compared to what you're used to?
Actually, pretty interesting results, a lot more than on the higher side than we had anticipated.
I'm curious to see what tweeting now and then means, considering that some stat came out either yesterday or today that said that the average Twitter user tweets once a day. So mm-hmm. I don't want to see how that plays against now and then.
Excellent. That's a great point. We use these polls again. Please use the Q&A and let us know if you want to add some information to that. Here's some other research that speaks to what Mark was talking about, and we'll get through this very quickly in the slide after it so we can get into the section that Mark and Jason have for a lot of examples. You've seen this research too, I'm pretty sure. Harvard Business Review, over half of Twitter users tweet less than once every 74 days. 51% of accounts use it less than once a month, 60%. These things all popped up. You know, the backlash is obviously very much in effect already in some circles, and we've seen this happen again with some of the other social media services or, you know, hotspots that we talked about before, MySpace, happened with RSS feed. There's always a learning curve, and there's always kind of a backlash that comes along with some of these different things. But I think one of the things to keep in mind is that when you look at these stats, it actually speaks to the opportunity that we have with Twitter. And if we move ahead to the next slide, we'll look at another research snapshot of sorts, an experiment that was done by a group, Pathable. So if you look at this chart very briefly, they took about 800 tweets associated with a particular event, which is WordCamp San Francisco. They looked at all the tweets that came through on the hashtag for that event, we talked about those briefly earlier, and broke those up into different major categories. You'll see here's what I'm doing or feeling, retweets, announcements, info, questions related, comments, quotes about the speakers. And this was a great little experiment. What it basically came down to was, in essence, about one-third to maybe two-thirds of the tweets that they reviewed and went back and analyzed brought a lot of value, not just to people who were at the event, but people who couldn't be at the event, whether that is information about what speakers were sharing, links from the presentation, things like that, as well as who is doing what, who to keep an eye on, meeting people at events. And I can say from our own experience, from marketing experiments, one thing that really took off for us was the Marketing Sherpa Email Summit in Miami. We started tweeting a lot more around that same part, around that same time, and this is really where live events can be kind of lifeblood for Twitter in some ways, with hashtags, which Mark and Jason are going to talk about a little bit more, and with even using these kinds of search features to get involved in conversations beyond just you know, the one-to-one. This is really an opportunity. And if we look at some of those statistics that say, you know, we haven't done this, or we haven't tweeted more than that, or this Sherpa chart here, which shows that about 62% of marketers neglect to join the conversation by either not monitoring social media or not responding. This is really an opportunity lost, and this is really a chance for all of us to take our, you know, our business persona, our marketing, our brand, into a conversation, into an area, into a community of connecting with other people, and really use that in some ways that a lot of other media just don't handle. Email, for example, even blogs and comments, things like that. So what I wanted to express here was that a lot of the research might show kind of a backlash or some of the issues with Twitter, but in essence what they are really showing is there are great opportunities to be had here, particularly for business as well as personal. And with that in mind, what I'm going to do now is pass it over to Jason and Mark. They're going to pick up on that thread and talk about how to capitalize on those opportunities for business. Jason, Mark, if you're ready to go, please take it away.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Hunter. So a couple of things here we thought we'd start out with. It appears by the volume of chat going around Twitter right now that you guys are on and listening. For those of you, I think, in the 12% who are not on, if you want to listen a little bit what's going on in chat or about what's going on Twitter about this event, you can go to search.twitter.com, which is on your screen there, and simply search for Web Clinic, and you'll be able to see a little bit of what's going on. You know, kind of the traditional senses or traditional advice out there is go right to Twitter.com, sign up, and start tweeting, and start listening and start figuring it out. I think that's a little too loosey-goosey, especially for senior executives who are already tentative. So what we're going to try and do is put a methodology in place for you that we can attempt to follow by. So if we want to go to the next slide. So some of the common perceptions out there, and we all know what they are, is, you know, hey, here's what I had for lunch, or, you know, going to the bathroom now, or off to the beach. Those are some of the things that, some of the traditional things we hear about, you know, Twitter and the perception of the value of the tweets that go on. And if you want to click ahead there, you know, that develops a kind of a personality around the approach to Twitter, which is I don't have time for this and there's no value in it. When really there you can begin to get a lot of value out of the tweets if you start to approach it in the right way. And some of the things we'll talk about today are, you know, hey, customer service wise, you know, sorry you can't find the product, let me know what the SKU number is and I'll see if it's in stock. Direct me to send me your resume and I'll take a review at it on the HR side. Hey, on the sales side, mention this. Come on into our store, mention this for 10% off. And those types of communications via Twitter that we're starting to see that add actually a lot of value into this channel of communication, this medium. And when we start to talk about value, we're really going to focus on one of three things, and that is, just like anything else you do in business, you're going to be measured typically on ultimately rolling into one of three things. That's either you're going to increase revenue, you're going to increase equity, i.e. if you're a public company with stock, or you're going to decrease your costs. And if it's not doing one of those three things at the end of the day, which we'll talk about very precisely here, then it's probably not worth doing, or you're not going to get the attention span to be able to get a green light on this type of an experiment. So if we go to the next slide, and so we hear about the perception. So what exactly is it? Okay, according to Wikipedia, it's a social networking site or a microblogging service. And that's okay. Read, send user updates, otherwise known as tweets. So Mark and I actually took a stab at this as well, and while it is a platform for sending and receiving messages, and the character limitation is 140 characters, really it's a platform that has a lot more potential than just that. And we believe the value is really in a lot of the third-party applications that are beginning to come out and begin to get used. So once again, this is really about the why to use. And what Hunter had mentioned before is kind of a later discussion of exactly how or what to use. So we're going to stay focused on the why here for this session. So if we go to the next slide. Around a framework and setting up a framework and a strategy. So let's start there. Forrester, as you're familiar with, I'm sure most of you are, is developed out a couple of years ago, this POST methodology, by which both Mark and I professionally believe in and follow to a certain extent as well. And what we did is adopted that for a Twitter application and kind of renamed it a little bit with POST standing for People, Objectives, Strategy, and Technology. Related to Twitter, it's really kind of a research methodology first, then it goes into objectives and strategy, and finally the technology. And the technology includes Twitter itself. So there's a lot of things to do before actually going on and starting to tweet and how to tweet and how, with what frequency and under what name and setting up a bio and is this going to be, what the focus of it is for your company. There's a lot of things that go into that. So on the first one here on research, and I'll just kind of go through this a little bit. So on the research side, it's really about beginning to understand what's going on, and listening is probably thrown out a lot around this. And it's not just listening for your company name, but it's listening around your different brands. It's starting to understand what's being said about your company, about the executives within your company, about the employees and the morale maybe even at the company. It's also beginning to listen to what's going on, what are your competitors doing, who's talking about your competitors, about your industry, and possibly even your geography if your business is based around a certain city or a certain area. You can also begin to research around what's going on and being said around around your area as well. So there's a lot of things that you can start to do to begin to get a sense of what people are talking about, what they're interested in, and how you might be able to start to help or get involved using Twitter as the channel to do so. The objectives are really what we kind of distill into very simple things. That's the three things I mentioned earlier. That's either increasing revenue, increasing equity, or decreasing costs. And it honestly can be that simple. Everything needs to bubble up to one of those three things. And a recent video that's been circulated a lot by Procter & Gamble will actually agree to those three things of what they look for in determining value of business direction and business strategy methodology. On the strategy side, so if your objectives are to do one of those three things, and it's really about increasing revenue or decreasing costs, then your strategy is the tactical piece, the actionable plan, and how to go execute against one of those three things in order to reach your objective. And that's really where the strategy comes in. And the technology, so once you understand what you're trying to accomplish and how you're going to get there, now it's time to go and begin to implement the plan through Twitter and some of the third-party applications that are out there. So that's kind of the methodology that we live by. We kind of altered the Forrester methodology, and it seems to work really well and have some very positive results. We go to the next slide. So now let's start to get into some examples of where these are kind of playing out. And if you start to follow some of the, who's kind of mapping to some of these methodologies, you can start to take a look at what areas within your company start to have some value in it. And on the sales side, for instance, Dell Outlet, we've got a case study here at the end, but Dell Outlet is a great example of a sales environment or sales strategy using Twitter. And they actually have documented, and this is a few months ago actually, over $1 million worth of revenue coming from the Twitter channel being used for sales. If you look at the marketing side, Home Depot does a great job. And Mark, do you want to
talk about some of these things?
Yeah, as far as Home Depot goes, you know, they recognized that there was a niche or a big gap in that. You think about when you go to Home Depot, you immediately look for the guy or the woman in the orange vest. And what Home Depot realizes is that they could use Twitter in the same way by allowing people to access Home Depot utilizing Twitter for information about nails, about plywood, about lumber, whatever it was. And what it did was it sped up the process for somebody who would go to Home Depot looking for these products. They knew exactly where to go, what they needed, what the size, the amounts were, and so it was almost a customer service slash marketing channel for Home Depot. In regard to Dell Outlet, it was another sales channel to sell refurb products. You know, the amount of traffic that goes into Dell is amazing. They make money. They're actually one of the few organizations out there that actually makes money through the utilization of Twitter. JetBlue, if anybody takes the time to go to their Twitter account, we'll notice that they have about 600,000 followers. That doesn't mean that everybody's using JetBlue, but it's another way for JetBlue to let customers know that there could be a delay, there could be you could do upgrades. There's just a number of ways that the airline is basically leveraging their presence, utilizing Twitter, and softening everybody's perception of how bad it is to fly. From a B2B standpoint, IBM, Sun, Forrester all utilize Twitter for upcoming product announcements, upcoming events, and as well, it's just another way to communicate with their customers about the best way to, or conferences, and it's a smooth channel for communication that otherwise didn't exist.
Great. If we go to the next slide. So what we've done now is started to get some examples so you can start to see a little bit of some of the implementation of some of these different strategies and see them in play. It's a lot easier to visualize them. And so what we've done is we've kind of run our own hot or not project here and calling it this and not this. And if we go to the next one, we'll take a look at some comparative industry examples. And here's one with on the CPG side with Jeff Hazlett, who happens to be the chief marketing officer of Kodak. And he's been recognized as one of the top Twittering CMOs across any industry. But if you just look at the presence of Kodak on Twitter, and from an employee standpoint, for instance, and getting an understanding of a day in the life of an executive and understanding what they see as important and some of the things they push out. You can see he's got a great photo here. You know exactly who it is when they show up in your tweet channel. If you're following him, it's a clear bio. You know, you understand right where he sits in the organization. And he's starting to promote some things. Hey, got a, you know, and they're interesting. Got a new video from one of our products from Conan O'Brien show, and you can also see he's beginning to interact, and he does a great job of interacting with his followers as well, of which he has a sizable amount of, in talking to, hey, try this out, sorry to hear that, you know, we'll help out in any way. On the other side of that, I looked up Fuji, and really couldn't find any, certainly their CMO is not on, and nor is as many employees to speak of. And so this is actually the best representation I could find, which was, you know, one update, four friends, following 12 people and four people following it, which is, you know, not necessarily an example that best represents a CPG brand. And by the way, Fuji has in the tens of thousands of mentions on a weekly basis throughout Twitter. So we would consider that a missed opportunity. And if we go to the next slide. Another good example is Dell Outlet, which we have mentioned quite a bit already. But if you just take a look at this, what they're doing is they're actually not just pitching all the time. They're actually being very helpful in talking about when things are going to be available. They're not available here, but they are here. You can see they have 600,000 followers, and they're following 22 people. That may seem a little odd at first glance, but if you look at who they're following, it's the rest of the brands on Dell. This here is a great example of how to set up an account where if one of your channels is sales and you have other channels that are utilizing Twitter for other reasons and utilizing different strategies, connect with them, let people understand a quick and easy way. If all you know to go is Dell Outlet, you'll be able to see where you can get service for small, medium-sized business and for all the other areas of Dell on Twitter. And it's also even a little bit of customer service in there on the bottom one. And on the other side of OFC, which is an office supply, office furniture company in Chicago, on here they have kind of five posts. Well, if you go look up their account, it's actually the same. They have 275 updates. It's the same five posts, basically done 40 different times. That's not exactly what we would recommend for a best practice on Twitter. If we go to the next one, a little different industry with media and entertainment. Take a look at CNN. Once again, on the periphery, this might not look like they might look very similar. But I'll point out a couple things on the logo, CNN. When I see the CNN logo coming down my Twitter fall, it's very clear what it is. When I see goo, I have no idea what goo is, GU for Guardian News, and Guardian News is a pretty large news organization out of the UK. And nor if I went to goo would I find out what they are. Unless I really wanted to know, started reading through all the tweets, which you would understand very quickly that they're a news organization. So they're, a strong bio, a link back to your online site, and a good logo will go a long ways. And you can see 118,000 followers compared to 15,000. And once again, the strategy of following your other brands on Twitter is a very solid strategy, and a lot of those brands then on the other brands like iReportNet, they actually follow a lot of the followers back. So the interaction is at those places. If we go to the next one with IBM Design and Microsoft, this is real. this isn't some PowerPoint mock-up thing. If you look at Microsoft on Twitter, it's the official site, all right. There's no updates. They're not following anybody. And Lord only knows how they have 700 followers because they haven't marketed at all. But it really goes to show you, and to be honest, IBM's not that much better. If you go to the IBM direct site, they actually have done a very poor job as well. But this is really to point out how people find you, not how you want people to find your brand. And IBM Design, IBM does a wonderful job across Twitter in general. And they have, for their design, for their events, IBM events, they have their B2B group, their partner channels, all kinds of great examples across Twitter. But their main brand, IBM, is really nowhere to be found. There is a page up with nothing on it. And that just goes to show that if I happen to be in the design business, I'm not going to know to find IBM Design. I work in the design business. I'm really about IBM. So I'm going to search for IBM. And that goes the same way with Microsoft and the rest of the large brands out there. If we go keep going here with Dunkin' Donuts and Subway, this is a good example here. Where another great logo, nice following, very engaged. They're handling some potentially bad feedback with not being in a state. And if you notice on the other side, Subway, which has $5 footlong in there, but also has some updates about Subway the train. Subway hasn't even gone out and gotten their own URL, their own Twitter name. So That's interesting, and because Subway happens to be one of the most talked about brands on Twitter itself. If you go to the next. And in the car industry, another example here, Scott Mahoney does a great job for Ford. Very engaging. He's always on the road and always willing to chat. Gets back to people, does a great job. On the converse, Nissan is really nowhere to be found. Not only do they not have a spokesman necessarily, but the only brands are some of their dealerships that are on Twitter. So that just gives you a little bit of an example of what that looks like. If we go to the next slide then. So now we've got a couple of case studies here that we'll quickly go through. You guys can go through and read more about these, certainly at your convenience through the download. But, a couple of points here. Mark, do you want to just in that the key points are brought out, and then we've got some the link back to some places where you can find more information back on the web. Some more case study based information. So with Dell, and the next one here is with Sprint and how they're managing a lot of the conversations around their the Palm Pre and using their employees to build up a lot of steam around the launch there. And the next case study here with Zappos, and Zappos has done a tremendous job with word of mouth marketing. They actually have a microsite that you can go to and follow with tabs along the top, follow what tweets are being said about Zappos, what the employees are saying, and a lot of different very interactive things you can do. And basically, they've taken their brand and pre-sorted it for you on this mini site. And it's really a good chance to understand how it is or what it's like to work at Zappos, and you get a very good feel for the company from an insider's perspective, sitting on the outside. The next case study is for any nonprofits who happen to be on. There's actually some pretty good case studies out there. This happens to be one of them, where they've been able to raise money through awareness. And also sending out links to where people can donate, as this person actually did a trip to they did a trip and really documented it through via Twitter, and were able to raise over $8,000 in donations since the beginning of the year. Now what we thought we'd do is go through and just take a look at some of the companies that may actually even be on the call here. And what we did is used a product called TwazUp, that's TwazZup.com, to get this. And you can go and look up your own brand underneath this as well. And Mark, do you want to discuss this?
The thing that I think is important for everybody to understand is that, I'm seeing a lot in the back channel of hashtag web clinic where, there's some skepticism about whether, you should be listening or whether you should be monitoring, or I have a Twitter account and what's the big deal. But I think what's important for everybody to realize is that conversations are taking place every day, and they're taking place with or without you. So it's your choice. If you don't want to use Twitter, that's fine. Well, your competition may be. And if they are, then that's probably a leg up that you don't have. So if you're not listening, at least listening, and that's what that kind of goes back to our roast method, that, if you don't want to participate in Twitter, that's fine. But at the least, you should be listening and monitoring what people are saying about you, your brand, your niche, and the space that you play in. I don't care what your attitude is about Twitter, but at the least, you would want to do that from a monitoring standpoint. So, using something like TwazUp, or, I saw somebody mention Radiant 6. There's a ton of monitoring tools out there. There's a ton of free ones. There's a ton of paid ones. But at the least, and this goes back to the roast method, you know, if you apply that, then, you know, the data that you have in 1 month certainly is better than the data that you have right now. Jason?
Okay. So just a couple of notes on here. For a brand like JCPenney, while it, you know, there's an opportunity here you see in the middle, I saw it at JCPenney and Linen and Things. If JCPenney were online, they could reply back and possibly get a deal out of it, unless Linen and Things is online and beats them to it. The next slide here kind of points out an important piece where, remember, it's not how you want to be perceived or how it's about how people are actually using your name and talking about you. Notice JCPenney is without the E here, and there's just as much conversation going on around JCPenney without the E, and the tags associated with it are actually even more interesting because they're comparing, they're saying JCPenney in the same sentence with Macy's and Sears and Target and Best. So that's pretty interesting, and along with the photos that are associated with the name, some of the featured people who are promoting it as well. So those are all key things to take away here. We can even look at probably a couple more, but I know we're getting close to our time now. So this here is an example of a local radio station in New York, I believe, and you know, you can see right at the top the top thing here is the best radio station in the history of radio. That's pretty interesting. The tags that are associated with it, eclectic, probably the morning show is pretty hot there, I would say. So, you know, those are interesting. If you know how people are perceiving you, you might understand how to interact better or what times are better to interact on. If we continue on here. And this is an example of an airline, and it's interesting that a lot of people talk with Lufthansa and travel deals. So it might be an interesting channel to begin to get people engaged in looking for discount prices on certain legs. And then the photos are actually pretty relevant here, people sitting in the planes and traveling. So people actually are representing that brand pretty well, it seems like.
Jason and Mark, that is a great rundown. I've been kind of watching the Twitter feed and our hashtags is going by. I actually am kind of nervous about launching another poll at this point, but we did really want to get a sense from the audience of, based on what you've heard now, what is your primary Twitter business objective? So we're going to try and open this, and we're going to keep our fingers crossed, and we're going to try and see what our audience thinks as far as, you know, what ways you think Twitter is best suited to your business. We're watching the votes come in now. Please vote quickly. I also, while you guys are voting, I want to say a special thank you to the over 800 people who have stuck with us through a couple of system crashes here. We really appreciate you coming back or sticking with us, logging back in. Again, you know, I think that we maxed out a little bit. And right now, we really appreciate you coming back and taking part in this. We're about to share the results now. And I'll ask Jason and Mark to comment on the results as well. While we're waiting for that poll slide to come up, we are having the e-workshop that I mentioned earlier. So, again, we will kind of take some of the information here that that we've talked about, and we're going to look at some of the polls, some of your feedback, some of your Q&A, some of the tweets that have gone through on the hashtag, and we're going to use that to customize the e-workshop that we'll be doing on Twitter on the 30th of June. So if we look at the results, we can see that really about 70% are showing marketing, 10% are sales, there are about 6% customer service, 1% for partnering, and 13% are still not sure. Jason, Mark, how do you feel about how that kind of aligns with some of the examples that you guys looked at?
It's not surprising. I am seeing some stuff on the back channel that brand management probably could have been part of that, but we can possibly lump that in with marketing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the still not sure is pretty interesting. and not sure whether it's, it's just they don't have a good feel, really for what Twitter is all about. But also the other one that's interesting is partnering. And, it's probably something that gets overlooked, but, what a great way to possibly partner with another organization by, utilizing Twitter to actually have a conversation without having to pick up the phone call and cold call, or, you actually have a bio, and you can go from small talk to an actual conversation that could ultimately lead to partnering. So I think that's, the numbers are interesting, but overall, they're not really surprising.
Okay, we're going to take a look at a final piece of research here as far as barriers to social media adoption. Again, this takes us back to the Marketing Sherpa Social Media Benchmark Guide. And use your Q&A for this. We would do a poll on this one as well, but there are six questions here, and we only have five answers in the poll section. So just use your Q&A and let us know if you feel that this reflects your situation, if it's really a lack of knowledge, if it's an inability to measure ROI, if it's a lack of budget or funding, management resistance, or technical complexity. You can see how most marketers rated these as far as their challenges and their limitations on using social media and adopting it and executing to the full extent. Again, we'll try and use this information and really try and tailor this to make an e-workshop that adds a lot of value based on what you're looking to get out of Twitter, what some of your limitations are, what some of the obstacles that you're finding are. And we are just about at the end of the presentation here. We want to say thank you again for sticking with us. I certainly want to say thank you to our guest presenters and for them sticking with us too. Jason Breed, Mark Meyer, we are going to take some of the Q&A. When you log out, we have a survey. We read all of your feedback. We take it very seriously. We use some of your Q&A for the blog posts, for tweets, for the upcoming e-workshop. If you want to know more about the e-workshop that we're doing, which we are really counting on to be a crashless, seamless experience, we'll be conducting this on June 30th from 4 to 5, thanks to the demand that we've had here today. Our special presenters, Jason and Mark, have agreed we'll put together a very special session that helps to bridge the gap from a lot of the why that we talked about today to get really tactical and get very hands-on, help you figure out which goals you want to use, how to apply that to a strategy, and how to build an engaging following, and which tools that you can use to do that. You can find the sign-up for that special workshop at the Marketing Experiments blog, where you can also find a list of some of our favorite articles and resources. We put that up today, so it's right at the top of the blog there. Please join us and read that. Join the e-workshop. Try and find out where you can go from here, and let us work with you to try and help you build that strategy. And one other resource, again, we looked at a lot of the research from the 2009 Social Media Marketing and PR Benchmark Guide for Marketing Sherpa. That's a great resource. We pulled a lot of charts out of there, but there are certainly a lot more than that. So in closing, once again, I want to say thanks to everybody for your feedback, particularly for sticking with us, for jumping on Twitter, giving us your feedback in the Q&A, and on the exit poll survey. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Our topic then will deal with search engine marketing. And in the meantime, please fill out the post-clinic survey. Let us know what you think. Visit the blog. And we will talk to you and see you again soon. Thank you, Jason, Mark, and everyone who participated.